Max wakes up inside of a dark room. There's four things Max notices right at the beginning. One, there's nothing to see. The room doesn't appear to have windows, no slivers of natural light that enter it in any sort of way. Second, based on the strange position of her body, she seems to be sitting on a chair of some kind, and based on the cold feeling under her fingers, it appears to be a chair made of metal. Third, the chair also seems to be made to hold people in place, since she can feel at her arms and legs that she's shackled to it in some way that appears to be inherent to the way this chair was constructed. And fourth, while she is alone in the room, she doesn't appear to be alone in the building. In the distance, voices can be heard. A low rumble, like hundreds of people waiting for something, cheering, screaming. And that's where we enter.
I think the first thing Max does is just some electricity. Let's get that going. See what happens, maybe, if at least she can see something.
Okay, I don't even think that needs anything along the lines of an unleash your powers. You can just have some sparks fly from your hands. I think in like slight flashes, like a camera, you see the room around you. The chair you're in appears to be pretty bare bones, like kind of like a slightly better camping chair. You also would realize, because that's part of your power set, that this chair doesn't appear to be made of a magnetic metal, because you don't feel it in the same way that you usually feel metals. In front of you appears to be a mirror, from what you can see, because you see yourself in it real quickly. And also what you see while you do that is something's wrong with your costume. You're definitely wearing your superhero costume right now, but it's a little bit off. Like someone did some small changes to it without fully breaking the design. I don't think you can see much else about this room because, like, the light comes from you and you have these very short flashes. You see that there's a door somewhere in the corner. Otherwise, it seems to be pretty sparse.
So the last thing Max remembers is being on the train with her brother.
Mm.
And entering Dreamland.
Yes.
And
then something weird smelling in the air. And being very tired.
So, I think she would assume that, yeah, this is Dreamland. Just one of the higher-ups in Dreamland really wanted her here.
What course of action would she pursue in that light?
So, since nothing, like, right here is magnetic, including the chair, and she otherwise probably can't do a lot, I think she would just, like, go, "Hello? Anyone there?"
There is actually a reaction to that. You see that the door you spotted in the corner opens and light floods into the room. And you see two people entering and then turning on the lights. And you see a muscular older man in like very bizarrely fashionable clothing. Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure protagonist kind of vibes. The man appears to be like in his 50s or something like that and is wearing glasses. And alongside him, there's a very young woman with curly hair who also steps into the room, and they both like look at each other, kind of surprised, before the young woman quickly walks over to you and says,
"Oh, I'm deeply sorry. We forgot to turn on the lights before. We didn't think you were waking up yet. We thought we would do that in like a few minutes. It's great to meet you."
"Well, if you want to apologize for anything, how about kidnapping me and tying me to a chair?"
We didn't kidnap you. I'm Jeannie Falcone. I don't know what happened before. I was just told to do your makeup."
"My makeup?"
You have a lot more light now. You can look into the mirror and you see, like, you didn't notice at first that there was any makeup done, but now you realize there's like, you know, the kind of stuff they do for TV, like just slight stuff to fix some small errors, to bring out the elements of your face stronger, stuff that doesn't show up as makeup, but just, you know, improves how you look on the camera. You would be used to that. And also you realize that the mirror you were seated in front of appears to be like, you know, a makeup cabinet, basically. the older man also steps in and looks down at you and kind of like pulls at some of the elements of your costume, which you now realize it looks a bit more purposeful. Like it's basically still the same thing, the same color underclothing, the same color jacket, but like the clothing is a little more like tight and athletic, and it appears to be made of this like bullshit superhero costume material that every MCU movie uses, you know, that kind of like mesh, rubbery, plasticky material. And the jacket is just a little bit more sleek, has just a little bit more sharp edges. It looks like a slight redesign by someone who used your original costume for reference. And the man kind of checks it out, pulls it out in a few places where it's not quite correct in how it sits on you, and says, "Yes, that seems very good. I think I can send you out like that."
Out where? What do you want from me? And who are you?
They look at each other, kind of confused, before the younger woman turns around to you again and says,
"You weren't informed in advance? Did your manager not talk to you about this?"
"Listen, the last thing I remember is being on a train, and now I'm here."
"Oh, well, I guess they think you'll figure it out yourself then."
"Who is they?"
"The people from the John Johnson show, I guess."
"The what now?"
"You would remember the John Johnson show, I think. It's like a very popular Dreamland talk show."
"Yeah, I still think that it would be strange in this context to warrant that response."
"Yes." She kind of raises an eyebrow and says, "You know, the famous talk show."
"Yes, I remember the famous talk show, but why am I on it?"
"Well, the new lineup is being presented, you know, for Dream Squad."
I'm part of this new lineup?"
"Yeah, you were recruited into the lineup. Did your manager say nothing?"
"No one talked to me about anything."
She seems to be kind of at a loss for words, but the older man puts a hand on your shoulder and says,
"Well, you can consider yourself very lucky. It is the premier superhero team of the country, and I have redesigned your costume for this special occasion. Welcome to Dream Squad, ecstatic."
"Okay, so after the show, do I get to talk to someone, or what's happening here? Do I get to talk to the team?"
"Well, yes, obviously. I think it would be easier if you talk to them yourself."
And he presses a button on the back of your chair, and your shackles are basically removed. And he says,
"We don't have much time." He checks if your makeup is all right real quick before he says, "You're on air in 2 minutes.
"Well, I guess it's good that I had media training, so this, you know, doesn't bother me at all, and I'm not under stress whatsoever."
And he extends his hand out to you to help you out of the chair, and you all leave the room together, heading towards the sounds of the cheering audience. Welcome to Waypoint, a podcast for the gays, but also for people who like cheeseburgers. Because this is a big thing with a different cast, I wanted to open the doors to multiple audiences. I'm Jules, I use the pronouns he and her, and I'm the Game Master.
Hello, I'm also joining. I am Dana Lexa, and I use she and her, and I'll be playing Longhorn.
Hi, I'm JPG. I use he, him pronouns, and I'll be playing Troubledore.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tess. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm playing the wonderful Wacky, who uses it, its pronouns.
Hello, I'm Luca. I use he, they pronouns, and I'll be playing Mr. Olympic.
And I'm Mimi. You might know me. I use they, them pronouns, and I still play Max.
As always.
As always.
Hey, wait a second. This isn't my normal cast. Who are you people? What's going on here? Usually it's like other folks. I hear other names. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember them that well, but I'm pretty sure it's not these people.
Jules,
sorry,
what do you mean?
Sorry, we hijacked your podcast.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean, you people?
We just joked about how you're the only one here who isn't LGBT, okay?
That's fair. I was also going to say that joke would have killed in America. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Well, I'm super glad that we actually have, like, Americans here for once to call bullshit on all the stuff I keep claiming about America on this podcast.
No, it's true. It's all true.
And we have people here who live near Disney facilities, from what I heard originally. Facilities of some theme park that might exist in the United States of America, in our world. Hypothetically. Don't sue us.
Yes, I am 8 minutes away from one of the most popular theme parks ever.
How would you describe it? Would you maybe use the term magical to describe that place?
I would say that it is that it's definitely where dreams come true. I am not one of those kinds of adults that you see on TikTok, but I very much enjoy visiting the place as well.
We have gathered a brain trust of people from all over the world here with great knowledge on theme park activities and other things too, I assume, to start a kind of unique and kind of weird little waypoint arc here with a slightly different cast. You might have noticed that some people are here who usually aren't, and some people are not here who usually are. And I think I don't want to keep the audience after a little intro from having a nice little introduction to all of our new heroes for all that long. So I just drop us into the plot.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
The excited chatter of a dedicated audience fills an uncomfortably warm, large room. On a stage in front of the masses of Dreamland's most dedicated celebrity culture enthusiasts, in the midst of a jungle of cameras, light fixtures, and cables, a group of comfortable plush chairs and sofas has been arranged into a semicircle. A man in a salmon suit sits in one of them, to the far left. His hair immaculate, and his cheekbones so sharp they look like they're about to cut their way out of his skin. His smile looks painted on, like his face was designed with it in mind, as its most flattering pre-programmed expression. As the lights on stage start flickering to life, his head moves towards the audience, smooth and steady, as if it was rotating on a ball socket. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's such a pleasure to see so many of you here in the audience tonight. I'm John Johnson for John Talk on The John Johnson Show. Tonight, I have the pleasure of presenting you with what you've all been waiting for. Another season of the Dream Squad is about to begin, Dreamland's very own government-sanctioned and controlled superhero team. And you're about to meet the new lineup. The audience starts cheering loudly, and we see someone walking on stage. And I would like to ask you, right at the start, who do you think would be the leader slash spokesperson of the team?
Oh, Mr. Olympic, no doubt.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Olympic for sure.
Okay.
All right. Well done. So, behind one of the curtains at the back of the stage, Mr. Olympic walks forward.
Hello.
The audience starts cheering, especially a specific segment of the audience, more like the middle-aged female bracket, starts cheering loudly. And you get some claps from Mr. John Johnson as well as you make your way towards one of the sofas. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have you on here.
Oh, John, I miss this place.
Oh, we missed you so much. We missed you so much. Once every few years, but it always feels like too much time has passed. Now, we heard that you're about to, or have already for a while, led the new version of Dream Squad?
Well, yeah.
Is anyone from the last lineup still there?
Well, you see, we've had to let in some new blood. The team needs to evolve, change with the times.
We hear that this instance of the team is generally going to feature some new people. From what we heard, most of you have already been active together for a little while.
Oh yeah, we got to know each other.
Who would you say is one of the new centers of the team? Someone people might not have heard about yet.
Well, Longhorn, she's got a great career in front of her. That girl can go the distance. She's got the strength, she's got the heart, she's got the training.
What kind of powers does this Longhorn have?
We're talking about the cowgirl of the West. She is super strong. She's incredibly tough, and she's got a charming accent.
Well, you have certainly made us all interested so far. So, with this new lineup, you've been in most Dream Squads of the last, what was it, 10 to 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Hard to let go of a gig like that.
16, to be precise.
Would you say that this team is, as the press release has stated, the best and most interesting version of Dream Squad yet?
Well, of course. We're constantly striving for better.
Well, in that case, I don't want to keep the audience waiting for all that long. Why don't we just ask them all on stage?
That's a great idea, John.
But they'll only come out if everybody starts applauding very, very hard. And the audience reacts by clapping very, very hard. And we cut away from this really briefly to behind the scenes at the back of the stage, where the rest of the team have gathered. And I forgot to ask about this for Mr. Olympic. We can get to that in a little second. But who is gathered here? What do the people gathered here look like?
Well, as mentioned, there's Longhorn, Cowgirl of the West, who's a tall, orange, partially cow woman with very, very long horns, dressed up in a cowgirl outfit with lasso, and she's looking kind of excited, kind of nervous, shifting her hoofs on the ground back and forth, trying not to make too much noise.
I was about to say, like, okay, cowgirl, not in the lasso type, but in the animal type, but it's both.
It's both.
Perfect.
Also, we have the wonderful Wacky. The wonderful Wacky, aka Wacky Cat, is a roughly 8 foot tall mascot, much like you might see at a legally distinct from Dreamland park. Mm. Wacky Cat, as a whole, is a cat with kind of a drooping face and a heart-shaped nose. And then just the most visually unappealing costume ever. It's like a high turtleneck that's green on one side, purple on the other, with a big yellow heart and yellow, like, elbow patches. A black belt with a gold cat buckle.
My idea with that costume at this point is it looked really good on black and white footage, like right at the start of the whole Dreamland thing. When they first started making costumes of this, and because the colors are like so distinctively different from another, but in color it just does not work as well.
Oh no. And like Wacky Cat's like a like orangey brown color, but its poor face just permanently looks a little downtrodden. And it is a like frozen plastic face. It's not like a mascot, like, costume where it's, like, furry. Like, you might see it, like, a high school. It is just, like, solid, sculpted, unmoving silicone.
And currently, like, fully dressed, mascot head on, all of that.
Exactly. And the wonderful Wacky, which is the superhero identity of Wacky Cat, has a teal mask with a teal cape on, just to add to the, like, awful color palette. The Wonderful Wacky was a TV show that started fairly recently, but Wacky Cat's been around forever. Like, I think Wacky Cat was one of the original characters.
Yeah, the Wonderful Wacky is probably here to cashing in on current interest in Dream Squad and big superhero teams.
Oh, exactly. Just the most visually unappealing thing you can imagine.
I love it.
Who else is back here?
Well, I guess that'd be me, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're the only one left, I think. Yeah. Could be here.
Am I on stage, or do I just refuse? Can I just, like, refuse to come out? I'm just, like, trashing the green room.
You can definitely do that. Currently, you're, like, behind the stage, but you can definitely just not be there and refuse to leave your room.
I think you get that. Have you ever seen on those, like, daytime shows where the cameraman has to, like, run backstage and then they're getting footage backstage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's me and my band, and we're just outright trashing this green room.
As the sounds of the trashing of the as the sounds of the trashing of the green room can be heard in the distance, the other two, I assume, are waiting to be called on stage and, like, waiting for someone to deal with this back there. And the situation over there gets so bad that actually someone has to be sent for Troubledore. And you hear knocking, like, profuse knocking on the door.
I think you get this very comedic shot of a Troubledore opening the door and, like, kind of, like, putting his hand out there, and he's, like, leaning. Oh, is there a problem, or... And it's just all of his bandmates in the background, all, like, there's somebody that's, like, has a TV over their head and it's about to, like, smash it down. Like, somebody's hand is actively in a wall that they've punched, things like that.
You see in front of the door a very tired-looking mic technician or something like that who points behind his back and says, "You're about to go on stage, Mr. Troubledore, sir?"
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, we'll be there in a sec.
Just you. We don't need your band for this.
Wherever my band goes, I go. Or the opposite. Yeah, let's just scratch that and think that I said the opposite, and you're going to tell people I said the opposite.
What does Troubledore look like? What can we see here?
It's an undercut with, like, very, like, white, like, spiky anime hair. And, like, he's wearing, like, a black tank top that's tucked into, like, black, like, war core pants, like, with, like, the straps and the pockets and all that. He never wears the jacket correctly, but it's, like, one of those jackets where you can, like, drape over your shoulders and it still looks cool. And it's kind of like a cape and a jacket at the same time with the black fur, like, behind it, you know?
Yeah, but that's what he
looks like.
Yeah, so the mic technician would be like, "Oh, all right, I can tell that to the other folks here, but you're gonna have... I'm pretty sure you have to do this, like, contractually."
Yeah, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't have the power or the paycheck to deal with this any further, and I'd say he leaves.
I would like to go and pick Troubledore up. I have superhuman strength.
Yeah, okay, so, God, the mental image. The image. Have any of you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That aggressive walk Jamie Lee Curtis does in the scene where she's chasing Michelle Yeoh through the office building. Like, that's how I imagined Wacky, like, coming into this room.
Just lumbering.
Except more terrifying.
So the wonderful Wacky comes at you.
It's important to note, the wonderful Wacky does not have opposable thumbs. Its hands are basically just paddles.
Wonderful.
Hey, Wacky, come to hang out?
I don't even say anything. I just, like, reach my arm around Troubledore's waist and, like, pick him up, but, like, not, like, bridal style. Like, he is under my arm.
Do you attempt to stop this from happening?
Oh, no. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going somewhere.
Okay. Holds you, is held.
When you pick up a cat by the back of its neck.
Exactly. And while just we're without walking, thumbs. I think I'm trying to, like, fix his hair. But again, no opposable thumbs, so really I'm just making it worse.
Very team parent energy. Basically, so we have Wacky carrying Troubledore back behind stage. We have Longhorn here right before, like, the first time in front of a large crowd of this sort. And into this scene, we have Max, who just got let out of her own makeup room, coming into this situation. You are confronted by three other people who you would probably recognize as superheroes, even if you don't know them personally. You definitely know Wacky. You definitely know Wacky Cat, right?
Yes, and I feel like I also know Trouble Doll. I think that once during an interview, her mother just put some, I'm going to call them props, up in her room.
To make her more relatable to a teen audience.
Exactly. So I see. Yeah, while Max might not be a fan, like, she knows who he is.
You see Troubledore here. You see some sort of live version of a mascot, Wacky suit standing here, and a cowgirl. All of them ready to go on stage. From there you hear the cheers of the audience getting louder and louder as they stretch for time. And yeah, the others see Max.
But I think that they can definitely tell that Max is very confused and overwhelmed.
I would like to pat Max on the back.
Reassuringly.
But again, I am a miserable looking 8-foot tall mascot cat. This is probably
Max
rolled
to directly engage a threat.
So, in addition to the earlier emotions, now genuine fear is also there.
Perfect. Please roll me a comfort and support test.
Perfect. Do you have a dice bot or should I use physical dice?
You can just use physical dice. I don't have a dice bot in here.
Cool. All right. That was a 10 minus 1, so that's a 9.
That is, given the situation, shockingly all right.
Oh, hey, Jules, could I bump that up?
Sure, how do you do that?
It's hilarious that I'm still being carried while Wacky is trying to comfort this person. And it's kind of like, oh, hey, sup, did you get kidnapped too?
Jesus.
Yeah, so that's a 10 then. That's a 10. They hear you, they mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you, and on a 10 plus, you can also add a team to the pool or clear a condition. Since you don't have conditions yet, yeah.
I'm going to add that team right back, so the team that we spent goes right back in the pool.
That's perfect.
I think that maybe Max is just enough of a child to, you know, see the Wacky as it is presented on TV still in there somehow. And maybe find it frightening and comforting at the same time. And just knowing that, you know, there's other people there in general might be a bit reassuring.
And also the words that, hey, you've been kidnapped as well. You know, you have been very much kidnapped.
Oh yeah, like quite literally.
Yeah. The audience gets louder and louder. But as of yet, no stage technician or something has showed up to tell you to go on stage.
So I'm supposed to go on stage with you. And I think you're the current Dream Squad, is that right?
I guess I didn't realize you'd not get told what's going on. I'm Longhorn. It's a pleasure to meet you.
I'm ecstatic as a name, not as an emotion, but also ecstatic to meet you.
Yeah, dude, I was going to say, okay. Like, getting kidnapped.
Yeah, I've heard all about you. It's a pleasure to meet you, too.
You have, like, a short little moment where you can, like, at least briefly form the most basic form of camaraderie before we quickly switch over again to the other instance of the scene. The audience is very loud at this point. And Mr. Olympic, since we forgot before, what can we imagine you looking like?
Well, Mr. Olympic is blonde, square-jawed, 5'9", not a big guy, not even particularly bulky, just a gymnast body. He's wearing a red tracksuit with white stripes, and it's open to show a sky blue shirt with 5 interlocked Olympic rings in gold. And it's got his shoes are sky blue too. And so is the thing slung across his back, which is something between an archery quiver and a golf bag. And you can see there's a series of the handles of a series of different bats poking out of that.
John Johnson is apparently ultimately satisfied with the cheering of the audience as he waves towards the back of the stage and says, "Well, in that case, let us introduce you to the new Dream Squad." And that is when backstage you are told, "Okay, now's the time." And who enters the stage first?
I'm going to push Troubledore out first.
Good.
I'm imagining this very cartoony. There's like two hands pushing him on stage and he's standing there like absolutely not ready for that.
I think he does that two-step stumble out and he straightens he straightens himself up and he's like definitely hamming it to the crowd.
The audience goes fucking crazy as Troubledore steps out. Like there's people of all age groups, mainly the teenage group, but lots of people like losing their fucking minds in the audience.
I mean, like, is it set up to where, is it just like one of us coming out like one at a time, or like am I expected to play music at this point?
You're expected to come out, I assume, as like, you know, daisy chain, one after the other. But you step out first and you get like a little chance where John Johnson waves for you to come over and says,
"Oh, okay."
And yeah, it's like talk show setup.
Is there a couch then, since it's talk show setup?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's cushy chairs and couch and a couch and stuff like that.
Troubledore
it's very much late night show.
Yeah, Troubledore just lays across the couch.
The cheering gets louder as John Johnson says, "Oh, and here we have Troubledore, one of the most famous members of this new version of the team."
"What's up, Triple J? How we doing?"
"Oh, it's a delight. I'm feeling amazing. I am having the time of my life right now," and the audience would agree, and more cheering.
"Okay, so like, how long is this gonna take?"
"Were you not informed about this in contractual negotiations?
Okay, what am I doing? What am I doing today?"
"Oh, you know how kids are these days. They live fast. They're always on their phones.
No attention span anymore."
I'm super coffee hungover, so..."
"Oh, I wish I could experience the taste of coffee."
I want to interrupt this conversation.
Yes.
I'm just going to come out and wave to the crowd.
Children clearly adore this wacky costume. It's like, you know, the reverse of a face only a mother could love. It's like a look only a child could enjoy. And you make your way on stage as well.
I am going to take a seat in one of the chairs because I am very tall and very large. And I think I need my own space, probably furthest away from Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Because visually it will look better with me on one end.
Mm. For balancing.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson turns to you and says, "And there is the wonderful Wacky. We heard so much about you. We've already been talking here. The audience already has a very personal relationship with you." And you hear a few little laughs from the audience. True to form for a late night host, he's incredibly unfunny.
"Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Wacky."
Oh, God.
No. I love it.
There's children in the audience who hear that voice and also immediately clap. It's close enough to the voice they're used to from the cartoons. And he says, "Well, the wonderful Wacky. Now, we've heard about you and seen you on TV and in comic books for a long time. What made you decide to actually join the real world and a superhero team?"
"Well, sometimes we have to do our best and help the planet. And that's what I'm here for."
I died.
His voice kills me.
Well, we are so happy to have you here, Wacky. And I think this would be a good time for the next person to come on stage.
Longhorn will walk out, smiling and waving. Probably have to like duck and turn her head to get her horns, which go out like... almost an arm's length in to the left.
You crab walk on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. The audience has definitely also been primed to like Longhorn. And it's fairly obvious that that's who you are. So there is of course a lot of applause for you as well. Also a lot from the younger demographic, because that's a cow person. That's awesome.
I wave and I take the lasso on my hip and I just like raise it and swing it in the air a couple of times like I've practiced and put it away again. And howdy y'all. It's nice to be here.
You hear clapping from the audience, a few whistles even. You get like very loud cheers from the small percentage of the audience that is the Texan demographic. They're very much into this. And Mr. Johnson also waves you to a specific chair that is like slightly further back from the other one, so your horns don't get in the way of anyone else.
Right. We all go sit down, making sure my tail kind of fits through the back of the chair.
Through the dedicated tail hole. Mm-hmm. And this must be Longhorn. Now, we've already seen pictures of you in the magazines recently, but what made you choose to join this new team as a young and up-and-coming hero?
Well, you know, I had had a rough time for a while. I don't want to get too much into the details, but, you know, I was in a bad place. That's kind of how I ended up like this, and the Dream Squad rescued me, got me to a better place where I could be myself and not be locked up in some laboratory. And I just thought, you know, I wanted to help people the same way that they helped me. And, you know, I just wanted to inspire folks and help them and all that good stuff.
You hear cheering, applause, and some ahs from the audience as you retell your story. And John Johnson's face doesn't change in a microbe. It looks exactly the same as before, but he also says, "Ah, that is delightful. And I hear that we have one new member of the team, one who hasn't been on any missions with the others yet. Why don't you come on stage?"
I step on stage and raise my arms, and I'm making it rain sparks.
Ah, there's claps in the audience.
And I do
there's
have like, a move ooh. That could fit here, and it's called Time for the Show. Oh. When you put on a flamboyant display of your powers, roll plus superior. Mm-hmm. On a 7-9, name one NPC present. On a 10+, name two NPCs present. The named NPCs must either volunteer help or information, express admiration, or ask for your help. GM's choice. On a miss,
you can definitely roll for that.
On a miss, you're... display catches someone watching the wrong way.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how much useful information the audience can deliver here, but you could definitely roll for that.
And it's great because I have a +3 in superior.
True, yeah. Your stats look whack.
E. That is exactly a 7.
Hey, that is good enough. Name one NPC present. You know the name of one NPC present.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to take John.
Yeah. John Johnson looks at you with his unfeeling eyes and applauds himself as you put on that display of your powers. And he says, "Wow, ecstatic, am I right?"
"Yes, it's the name and how I feel to be here tonight with the team."
"Well, it's how I feel too, having you all on stage with me." And he points to the final seat ready. Actually, at this point, you realize that it was, like, exactly counted, and part of the counting was that Troubledore would take the entire couch. They definitely prepared for this kind of delinquency.
I mean, prepared delinquency is kind of his brand. Yeah, I'll just sit down.
The audience gives another applause, a bit of a longer one this time, until John Johnson starts speaking again and says... "Now, what can we expect from this new lineup of the team? A lot has changed since the last one. Mr. Olympic, you are now, from what I gather, the only one in your age group in the team. So, what can we expect?"
My age group.
"Hey, kid. I can still take you to school. But yeah.
Bruh, they don't even make me go to school here."
"Huh. It'll grow.
We all should go to school. That's how you learn."
That's right, Wacky.
Wow, Wacky, you're speaking from my mind.
Oh, yeah, school sounds nice.
Talking about school, I hear that you, Longhorn, are the youngest member of the current team?
Yeah, I've been kind of adjusting to life for, since I was saved some time ago, and, it's hard to take classes looking the way I do, so I've been doing some homeschooling, but it's nice to have a group I can spend time with that, we're all special in our own way, and kind of gives a practiced wink to the audience.
There's some people in the audience giving a slight applause to that. Well, from what I hear, you have gotten your powers fairly recently in that situation that you described before. What empowered you to join the team that saved you? I heard you have a new manager?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I wanted to put myself out there, but Mrs. Powers told me that, she's been helping me get used to being outside the lab I was in before, and she told me that I could come out and inspire folks and do a lot of good, and I'm just proud to be Dream Squad's first gender diverse hero. And
as you say that, before you can continue, there's like cheering in the audience, and John Johnson cheers as well. He gives like an applause and a solemn nod that seems to be saying like, oh yeah, it was about time.
You know, I really felt like I could do a lot of good, both with my outer strength, and does an arm flex, and my inner strength. That's what I've been told.
Max, how do you respond to hearing that Mrs. Powers is apparently, or Miss Powers is apparently, the manager of Longhorn?
I feel like outwardly, maybe not by much, except maybe that you can now see that her knuckles on the armrests are whitening.
Yeah, I would say take a powerful blow,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, let's go. That's a six.
That's a success. Okay. Perfect.
I think maybe what happens is that for just a moment, like one of the lights starts flickering, like the electricity is acting up a bit, but Max gets herself under control pretty quickly.
Yeah. Longhorn's lucky. Beatrix Power is an amazing woman, a fine specimen of Dreamland.
Well, let's not turn this into a promotional piece for Beatrix Powers. We're here to talk about all of you, isn't that right?
Oh, we always talk about us.
And can I just say how honored I feel to be welcoming the first gender-diverse hero in Dreamland history onto stage with me right now. I, of course, do not have a gender, but I'm so glad to experience something like this.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to all the folks out there that they're happy to see this moment too.
Yes, and talking about new things for the team, I am so glad to be able to welcome Ecstatic here, actually a long-term Dreamland hero who just returned home from spending some time in, I think, Waypoint, Delaware it was?
Yes, I got to experience the city of superheroes, and the experiences were invaluable.
So what made you decide to join this team then?
Well, you see, sometimes you just get an opportunity you cannot refuse, and it was pretty much, the Dream Squad. How can you not join the Dream Squad?
I just, Troubledore's just in the back like, kidnapped?
No. Ecstatic is exactly right. Who would turn down a team like this?
I mean, Dreamland money.
You hear some people in the audience be like, I say.
But, are the teens still just...
Yeah, the teens are into it.
And I think I put, a wink out to the audience, right?
Yeah, you're definitely speaking truth to power here. extremely. They're very into it.
Olympic gives you a very quick side eye.
Look, it's just, it's a, like, it's a cool gig. I get to play music all the time. They leave me alone for the most part. Sometimes I get to blow things up. Like, it's a, like, I mean, like, all things considered, I'm getting paid for this.
Well, young man, I cannot speak for anyone else, but I personally am very glad that someone as engaging and charismatic as you decided for whatever reason to join this team. I'm sure this new season is going to be completely different with someone like you around to question authority and all of that.
You seem cool. We shouldn't hang out.
Some teens in the audience like, oh, he said it. Oh.
You have no idea how much preparation I did for this character.
Yeah, also, Longhorn is very exaggeratedly laughing at all of Troubler's very funny jokes.
So now we know that at least one member of this team is not going to keep everything the same as it always was. But what about you, the wonderful Wacky? I did not expect to be welcoming a cartoon character into this team. Pardon my French.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, you are so funny.
What kind of, what made you decide to become a superhero after being a lovable sidekick for so long?
Well, the wonderful Wacky's Worldwide Wanderings is currently between seasons, streaming on Dream Extra, and I just thought I would bring some of the good that I do on that show to the world.
You hear applause in the audience, especially the kids losing their shit once again. That is lovely, that is lovely. But to slightly look behind the curtain for a second, who is gracing us here inside of that costume? Who do we have on stage with us?
Ha ha ha, Mr. Johnson! There's no costume! I'm just the wonderful Wacky!
Bro, you can't just ask what's under somebody's costume!
I will openly volunteer what's under mine.
Oh, no, no, none of us.
Please don't do that! This is a program for children!
I don't feel good about this at all anymore.
Well, I am glad either way to have you with us here. I'm sure the 5 to 9 audience is going to go absolutely ham for this.
Well, of course. I'm just so happy to be here and hang out with my good friends, the Dream Squad, and give some love to our young fans. And like Ecstatic said, sometimes you just can't turn down an offer. Sometimes it just forces itself right down your throat.
Wow, that is not ominous at all. I am, I love all of this. Well, I am glad that I had the chance to introduce this new Dream Squad to audiences. Mr. Olympic, do you want to give any closing thoughts before we leave the audience to ponder the strange questions and facts of the universe we have raised today?
Well, I just want to say that to build a team, you need different roles. You need different skill sets. But what you really need is a shared dream to unite us, to give us purpose. And that is the dream of the most magical nation on Earth. And that's what we're here to defend.
The audience claps loudly and strangely completely in sync, almost as if they've done this since their early childhood.
I also am clapping my giant paddle hands.
I'm imagining the noise from that. Like, pff, pff, pff.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
Oh, no, now that I made that sound, I wanted it to sound like, you know, two bits of plastic coming together. But now it sounded, when I made it, like moist.
Yeah, I think the pads on the hands might be just a little bit sticky from, like, you know, being around the park and kids touching them. So I think they stick together just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine it vividly, unfortunately. Well, that's about all for this little show. The next thing we're going to do after a short ad break is talking about the new generation of audiovisualtrons about to be used in all of the Dreamland parks. Stay tuned if you want to know more about it. And until then, bye-bye, Dream Squad. We know that you will keep us safe.
The short ad break is 15 minutes long.
Yes, the ad break is double the length of the show. And large applause happens. The camera sort of move away from you, pulled back to give a nice little ending shot. And as soon as the ad break starts, like, they just turn off the light on stage.
Does John Johnson stay, like, awake? Because
John Johnson collapses like a rag doll as soon as the lights turn off.
Of course.
What the fuck, Thrush?
What specifically did you think you had a problem with?
You know that if we have any indication that this isn't something we all want to do, there are going to be repercussions.
And right as you say that, you see that from the shadows at the corner of the stage, they start to like coalesce into the shape of a person. And a man starts walking towards you. He's about like 6 feet tall. His skin is covered in like very, very short but fuzzy bluish purple dark fur, and two large black horns emerge from his forehead. He's dressed in a very simple black suit, white shirt, black tie combo. And he walks up to you and says, "Well, legal is going to have a few problems with that, but I'll talk to them as your lawyer."
I mean, technically, I am ensuring that people's jobs go on.
I'll note that down. It's part of your brand.
Cool.
They'll understand. You know this man. This is Javelin Dark, your lawyer, the team's lawyer.
Oh, the team, not just Troubledore's lawyer?
No. He is the official lawyer of the Dream
Store. Okay, cool.
used to be a superhero. You, Max would also know that. Known as Devil Advocate.
Oh, God.
Until he figured out that being a lawyer pays better than being a superhero.
Yeah, kid, honestly, I think you could stand to dial back the low shit energy about 10%.
I thought it was fun, you know. Gave the show a fun energy.
See, Longhorn gets it. Plus, I mean, we've probably had the most like viewership like ever on this show.
As you say that, like, your eyes glaze over the audience, who have also all turned off.
Oh.
Y'all didn't think I pushed the diversity stuff too hard, did you?
No. Really. It's good to get it out of the way at the start.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
No, that was cute as heck.
And it is a large selling point.
Thanks,
Mr. Dark says.
I feel like Max is just standing awkwardly to the side, watching all this.
Actually, the lawyer would come specifically for you and say, "So, I'm sorry, I actually wanted to talk to you before the whole show started. Is everything settled already with your manager? I haven't had the chance to talk to him yet."
What settled? I was brought here, kidnapped, now I can say it, that we're not on camera. No one talked to me, or, you know, my manager.
Wait, didn't your manager come to Dreamland with you? I thought we organized for that.
I have not seen him.
Well, I'm sure he's somewhere. Nothing's perfect. Well, either way, everything is already settled. Here's your contract. He holds it up, then puts it in his pocket before you can look at it. It's signed in any way that matters. We are gonna... I mean, if you have any more questions, you can ask them right to, you know, Mr. Dreamer himself. We're about to head there after the show.
What?
Yeah, didn't you know that Dream Squad is led by Doug Dreamer himself? Glorious founder and leader of Dreamland?
I know that's what they're saying, but I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people falsely assume that he's dead just because he would have to be about, like, 150 years old. But he isn't, no. He's just been... He's been eating very healthy all his life.
We can all just, like, say out loud that we think he's a vampire, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought, like, some kind of zombie. But vampire makes more sense.
For legal reasons, you said neither of these things.
Of course.
So I can negotiate with him about this whole Dream Squad setup we got going here.
Well, you can't really negotiate. I mean, you signed the contract. I mean, you didn't sign the contract, but, you know, the person who owns you signed the contract. And yeah, he shows it off again, and you can see that your mom apparently signed it.
Well, fuck.
It's all right. They give us dental. Not that my mouth can move, so I can eat it.
Also, like, Wacky does not like that language, so...
I mean, the character Wacky doesn't like the language. I don't personally give a single fuck about it, but, you know.
I also don't swear in front of the audience, but, you know, it's just us right now.
Though, Longhorn, you might want to cover your ears.
I'm okay. Longhorn's looking away like she didn't want to say anything, but is a little uncomfortable hearing Wacky Cat swear.
Well, if you want confirmation of some sort, I have been told to just take you there.
Was that to Ecstatic?
To all of you, basically, okay. After you were speculating about ghouls and goblins.
Well, let's not keep big man waiting.
Yeah, I mean... And I think I put my arm around Ecstatic. And I'm like, how do you feel about being kidnapped again?
She stares very pointedly at your hand.
Very much this, you touching me?
Is this like a don't touch me consent thing, or is this a why is he touching me thing?
It's definitely a why is he touching me.
Okay. I think he just hops on for a piggyback.
Crushing Max.
No, Max no, because Max is strong, right? Like
Max is tiny.
Oh, okay.
Ronan assess the situation to figure out if you can jump onto Max.
I'm doing no. it.
okay, I made this. I made this happen. Okay. It's my fault.
Max is definitely the last person on this team I would expect to like be able to carry someone else around.
Right? Yeah.
Well, you messed up, Jules, because I have criminal mind. When you assess the situation, you can always ask one of the following questions, even on a miss. So I'm going to roll this.
Mm-hmm, sure.
That is... assess is going to be superior.
Yes.
So 8 plus 2, that's a full 10.
Hell yeah. All right. So you can always ask that bonus question. And also... ask two additional from assess the situation.
100%. The first question is, how can I best infuriate or provoke the meeting?
I mean, you've been doing pretty well so far.
Just keep being me, okay.
I'd say just keep going. Okay. Just keep going, doing that thing you do.
And then could I save the last two questions for when we're in the meeting?
I mean, you can. I was assuming you were... assessing this specific can I jump onto Max situation.
Okay. What here can I use to make sure she can piggyback me?
I don't know, get Wacky Longhorn to stabilize.
That's
I guess.
What I was okay. gonna do. I was literally okay. just gonna like reach out and just like put my hand underneath him and just like take the weight off Max's shoulders.
This is getting very close to a group hug at this point. What here's the biggest threat? Your massive body on Max's small shoulders.
I'm not giant. She just like
I know.
Are they just like I know. So little? and then I'm gonna say what here is the biggest threat to us?
Yeah,
not
okay.
Accomplishing
what here's
this?
The biggest threat? You remember from your like your personal memory of the facilities you're currently in that there's stairs coming up. and you're assuming that they're going to be a pretty big threat to your current plan. They're going to make this much more difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Can I
yeah,
also we're... say something to that? I feel like the sparks indicate, as well as the name, that Max does have electricity powers.
Mm-hmm.
So getting shocked is also a very real threat here.
True. Yeah.
He's probably going to like it.
That does not make this better.
Or
no.
It's going to suck, and then he's going to say that he likes it. But yeah, let's
proceed.
Okay, so let's proceed.
You have assessed the basics of your plan. Do you wish to go through with it?
Oh, 100% I wish to go through with it, yes.
Okay. So we've had this nice little Ocean's 11 setup of what you're planning to do. And now you're going through with it. What sort of danger? Everything's happening really quickly now that we've all seen how it's going to happen. You jump onto Max. The wonderful Wacky helps stabilize you. And Max, do you shock him?
I do, yes.
Okay, you get shocked. Unleash your powers. Why the fuck not?
Oh, I love it when a plan comes together.
I was going to say directly engage a threat, but I don't know if this counts as a threat.
That's fair enough. Pray for me. My freak is at -2.
Oh, oh great. You fucking normie.
What?
Oh, God.
That is a 3.
Okay. Yeah, you feel a light bristle. You don't get to mark potential, I guess, for this bullshit.
I already have 2 potential, by the way.
Awesome.
Amazing.
And the negative consequences to this are that Troubledore feels like super confident, like everything went perfectly.
100%, it's piggyback rides all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The negative consequences are that you feel great about this. And yes, you have to piggyback ride him up there because you fumbled the social interaction. You have to make it look good now.
I think maybe at this point, Max is sort of reminded of her brother, who can also be very annoying. And she also, you know, doesn't like his fashion sense.
Shared traits.
Shared traits.
Does Max share that with Thrush? Does Max actually say that out loud? Like, oh, you remind me of my brother.
No, I don't think so, but
okay.
Maybe that actually helps with, you know, a bit of affection coming up.
I'm going to retreat into my own mind and imagine this is my brother.
Basically, yes.
And with this fun little thought, you make your way up the dangerous stairs with the help of Wacky, following Javelin Dark to a room that at least the people who have been on the team a little bit longer would be familiar with, which is the meeting room.
Hey, Jules.
Where, yes?
How tall are the doorways? Are they tall enough for Troubledore on ecstatic shoulders?
No, actually. unless Troubledore, like, ducks down pretty strongly.
No, he takes it full forehead. Like,
fully confident.
Oh, 100
forehead blast. This is like a dick measuring contest between Max and Troubledore. Like, who loses first? Who gives up first?
It's just that game of chicken.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Max is definitely laughing at you out loud.
Troubledore, take a powerful blow.
Okay, let's do it. That's an 8.
All right. You lash out verbally. That makes sense here as an option. You give ground. Your opposition gets an opportunity. Also, wow. You struggle past the pain mark 2 conditions. All of these are directly applicable to the situation, actually.
That's good game design.
I want to give ground. Your opposition gets an opportunity.
All right. How do you utilize this opportunity, opposition, Max?
I think maybe I will just try to go through the doorway as quickly as possible to make him jump off my shoulders.
You want to drop him?
He still straight up foreheads it. Like, he's never lost a game of chicken and he never will.
Okay, but I'd say you, at this point, like, you hang off a little bit and have to keep your position, with a little bit of effort. So you didn't lose your position on Max's shoulders, but you lost your cool.
Like that stormtrooper in A New Hope, but like harder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So can I get Longhorn's and Mr. Olympic's thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, Wacky, sure glad there's another adult in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I want to knock his hands off so he falls off Max's shoulders.
Since we've already made all of this rolls for no reason, I'd say unleash your powers. Your slapping powers.
All right. My freak is a +3, so let's go.
That is not a surprise to me.
That's an 11.
Oh, Troubledore just dies. Oh, yeah.
Actually,
sorry.
That's a 12 because I have influence over Troubledore.
Sorry, first episode. Definitely died.
Troubledore falls off the shoulders, lands on the ground, the screen turns black and white, it says wasted in red letters.
Can I make a suggestion that Doug Dreamer absolutely sees this?
I'd say this happens like the doorway you're crossing is the doorway into the meeting room. And something you would have noticed as you crossed inside is Dark Dreamer doesn't seem to be here. But as at least the people who have been on the team for a while know, he's never there in person. And he does see it, but he sees it from a large screen that takes up basically like one of the entire walls. Where you can see, yeah, Dark Dreamer in a suit, sitting in a chair apparently, looking down at this intently as it happens.
I want to pull out a chair for Longhorn.
Oh.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Thank you.
I'm assuming there's like just like a long conference room table.
Yeah. Conference room table with chairs. Like, I don't want to say it like that, but like, just imagine Totally Spies. Like, it's that kind of a like metal room with like a large screen with a guy on it.
Instead of taking a chair, Troubledore just like lays down on the table, and then just like asks Devil Advocate for an ice pack. Like, be a deer and get me an ice pack.
Devil Advocate looks at you with a raised eyebrow, but he gets paid enough to do this.
Okay, cool.
So he crawls under the table and disappears. He has shadow teleportation, so the room is pretty brightly lit, so he has to teleport from the shadow under the table.
I continue to question my decision to add you to the team, Troubledore.
I mean, like, I do too, to be honest.
Well, marketing said you test well with the teen audience.
Yeah, I'm your next Penny Pennsylvania, so, like, we're doing great right now, dude.
Well, dude, I will have to take your word for that.
Sorry, Jules, that one got me.
I have led people into this team who have made the world shake beneath their feet. The Meteoric Man, Athena, Betsy the Borer. But I am sure that whoever this little musician here is going to be the big thing for the next generation.
This 100% sounds like a Venture Brothers hero or villain. And it's messing me up right now a little bit. I think Troubledore just leaves it at that.
I am so glad to have you all gathered here now, the new Dream Squad. As you might have assumed with that whole interview, new meeting, new team, I have a mission for you. And it requires some very specific abilities, like the ones of Miss Powers over here. And he points at Ecstatic.
And I think like maybe like Longhorn registers, huh, Powers, weird.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I don't do it?
Do you wish to continue being a superhero?
No, see, from where I'm, you know, sitting, you can only make Ecstatic do whatever you want. I don't have to be Ecstatic.
Well, if you don't have a problem paying charges for breach of contract.
Now see, I don't have any money.
Seems to make that decision a lot easier, doesn't it?
And you know what? What just happens if I lose control over my powers? You know, without some incentive? I sometimes have trouble concentrating.
I'd say provoke someone.
Yep.
Might be fitting here.
That's a 13.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, you fucking provoke.
I love how good Max is at provoking men.
On a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want.
Well, we don't want that. And we want people to be dedicated to the team. I was hoping that you would understand the importance of serving your country in that way, and that would be enough incentive on top of the great compensation for this job. What else do you want?
The rights to Ecstatic.
I see. And why do you want those?
Maybe so I can decide for myself what's happening to my brand.
You see that he appears to be thinking and looking down. And in that short moment where you see how his head nods down as he thinks briefly, you sort of get like a brief feeling like you're seeing some sort of disturbance in the video call. Like his face teleports from one position to the next briefly. Might just be a glitch. But as he raises his eyes towards you again, he says,
I will be completely frank with you, Miss Powers. We brought you on because we need you for one very specific upcoming mission with the team. We were hoping to keep you on long after that, but if you're not interested in that, we can say, sure, you get your rights if you help us with this one mission.
In that case, I'm all in for the Dream Squad for one mission.
What do the others think about that?
If I could have expressions, you would see major jealousy. Or, you know, if I could, like, clench my hands into the table, you would see me, like, clenching my fingers into the table. But I think instead I'm just, like, pressing on the table and I just break a hole, like, break a chunk off the side of it.
Oh, no.
Not again.
I guess I just don't know my own strength.
Anyone else have problems with these conditions?
Longhorn doesn't say anything, but is kind of uncomfortable with this situation that is apparently happening here. She just didn't expect anyone to be here against their will or to not want to be on the Dream Squad.
Where that's three of the five of us.
I mean,
yeah.
What are you even gonna do if you leave the Dream Squad? You'll go back to Waypoint with your old team? What was that? The fake alien, the fake Starbolt?
Yes, exactly. I was very happy with them. And, you know, none of them are as much of an asshole as you are.
Damn!
Look at that. That's fine.
Nah, I'm cool with it. Get your money, kid.
Well, listen, we don't have to argue about this. You just have to cooperate for one mission, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were here to, like, do good for folks. And, sorry you're not here under the circumstances that you'd like, but I'm sure what we got to do is going to be important, and you know we should do it.
Oh, it is. You can't imagine how important. Longhorn, especially for you, this might be a big mission. You certainly remember that facility the last instance of Dream Squad saved you from.
Yeah.
Well, that professor who did those changes to your body, we have located him.
Gene Hackman?
Yes, the Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have figured out that he's set up a base in international waters outside of Dreamland. We also figured out that he has an electric defense system that we would require someone with electric powers to subvert.
Consider it done.
Oh, and while you bring him in for his various crimes, including unethical experimentation, as well as stealing from a natural history museum, he has also stolen medical technology from our facilities. Returning that would be another huge priority.
So this is a recovery mission.
It is a capture and recovery mission, yes.
What's the level of acceptable collateral?
There will be no cameras present.
Understood.
Do you think there'd be anyone there, you know, like me?
Potentially. We don't know where his vile mind has taken him since that last time we engaged with him. As far as we know, his experiments on animal DNA and the human body have not continued, but we could be wrong. We have lost track of him for a while.
All right.
Oh, and one last thing before I forget it. We introduced Max here, ecstatic, with the rest of the team because I thought she would become a permanent member. But, well, that turned out to be relatively pointless. I was going to give you another member as well along for this mission. We didn't introduce her because she is my personal assistant, and she would have only joined you for this one run. But since two of you will do that now, why not introduce her at this point, at least to you?
I think this has definitely piqued Troubledore's interest. So, like, he's laying on the table, but he does, like, the belly flop to his, like, to his stomach and then just, like, kicks his feet up in, like, the girl sleepover position.
Yeah, you know? The classic girl sleepover position.
Yeah, okay.
Say hello, at least, to the fifth.
Fifth? How many are you? Five or six?
Six.
Math. One, two, three, four, five. You're five.
Well, say hello at least to the sixth member of your team for this one mission and mission alone, Astro Girl.
And I'd assume, like, your eyes might turn towards, like, one of the doors or something like that, and they don't seem to open or anything like that. Instead, you see, from the monitor wall right in front of you, something emerges. And, I will say that this would be a very startling sight for Max in particular, because it looks like a sort of black fog is emerging from the wall and coalescing into a gloved hand. And that is definitely something that Max has seen before. And as the rest of the body emerges from the wall much in the same way, you would see that it is a figure in a black costume with silver star-looking detailing and a belt with the letters A and G on there, probably to spell out Astro Girl, and a head that looks like weird black static, kind of impossible to decipher. And while that looks a lot like Black Hole, Max would realize this person is a lot smaller than Black Hole. And as the figure coalesces into a more physical shape again, right outside the wall, you see that the head stops looking strangely staticky and starts looking again like, you know, a human head. The one of a teenage girl, you would assume, with kind of wild black hair on top of her head. And she walks towards you with a smile on her face and says,
"Well, hello there. My name's Astro Girl. It's a pleasure to meet you."
Astro Girl immediately gets influence over me.
What does Max think?
Max probably thinks about all the attempts to copy superpowers that have been going on, like, all over the world, and that maybe someone has been successful with Black Hole or some similar power.
An additional thing that might make Max think a little bit further about this is that the voice matches.
Ooh.
It doesn't have that strange static on it that you're used to, and it's, like, in a slightly higher pitch. But the mode of speaking is very familiar to Max. And Astro Girl walks up to her and extends a hand to her and says, "You're the other new member of the team?"
"Yes, I am. Nice to meet you." And Max shakes her hand.
"Nice to meet you too. I'm sure we're going to become the best of friends." And that is where I would end this episode.
Nice. I was about to say, I'm like, that's an end of an episode line.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. I'm going to willingly give influence to Ecstatic.
I think you already, like, a few of you already have, like, we've pre-established influence over each other.
Yes. As I got already influence over Troubledore and Longhorn.
Yes.
Yeah. Who do you all have influence over and who has influence over you? We can very quickly go through that.
I'm influenced by Longhorn, Astro Girl, and Ecstatic, and I have influence over Troubledore.
Mm.
I got influence over Longhorn. Everybody has influence over me.
Yeah, I have influence over Wacky Cat and Troubledore, and have given influence to Troubledore as my love and Ecstatic as my rival.
Perfect.
I don't give influence to anyone, though I would kind of like to give influence to Longhorn voluntarily.
All right.
That works. Also, like, I just realized we never actually said this, but, like, what playbooks are y'all playing?
Oh, yeah. If it was not clear enough, I'm playing the bull.
Makes sense, yes.
Yes. I'm the delinquent.
I am playing the transformed.
Interesting. Huh.
I mean, what? Who's transformed? Not me.
Who's transformed? What? Wow.
And I'm the star.
I'm also still the star.
Yeah, you tell yourself that.
And at this point, I think it would be fair for Troubledore to have influence over me. Because, like, that whole thing we had going, this is going to influence how we react to each other.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And I would also say, as we're ending out this episode, who the fuck are all of these people who are here? You introduced yourselves at the start, but where can people find out more about you, actually?
You can find me on the wonderful podcast Super Idols RPG. And I play Violence Violet, a.k.a. Valerie, on that podcast. You can.
We love Vivi.
Yes.
We love Violence Violet.
Thank you. And you can find me on Twitter and co-host at Author X, though I've been using Twitter less and less.
Honestly healthy and fair.
I'm JPG. And you can find me on all social media at SpeakerJPG, mostly on Twitter. I don't really enjoy social media as much. You can follow my link tree if you go to any of my social medias. I play the Steel Spectre and the Steel Phantom on Nerds on a Roll. I played the Blade of Sorrows, and I play Takandra Red on Moon Harbor Heroes. Who else? Tess, help me out here. Who else?
You're also on The Welcome Party.
Oh, thank you. I'm on The Welcome Party, which live streams every Monday night on Twitch. And I also run a tabletop live stream called Indie Table Tales on Tuesday nights as well. You can find everything on my link tree. So have fun with that.
Nice.
Once again, I am Tess. You can find me on Twitter at Tessatrix, which is TessatriXX. I am the producer of Moon Harbor Heroes, or one of the producers of Moon Harbor Heroes. I am the GM of our primary line, which is called Legacies. And you can also find me on the podcast Dungeons and Drama Nerds. We do multiple shows a season or multiple games a season, so listen to all of them, and I'm in a few.
Nice.
Oh, I'm Luca, and I can mostly be found on Super Idols as well, playing Queen Bee.
We love Queen Bee. Queen Bee, friend of the show.
Queen Bee does not love Max.
She hates
No.
her.
No, they have a complicated relationship. Mimi, where can people find you?
I am also on the hell site that is known as Twitter, at Mipsilon. Which, if you don't know how to write that, just check out the Waypoint podcast.
It's somewhere
on
there.
I'm on there.
Also, I'm on the Waypoint podcast too. I'm also on Twitter at Burning Oleander, in case you're looking for me. I don't know. I'm on Waypoint as everyone, also specifically Will. I'm also on Moon Harbor as also Will for two crossover episodes.
That's true, which have just come out on Waypoint by the time this is released.
Yeah.
And on Moon Harbor. So go back a couple episodes, check that out.
Listen to the Legacies line. It's good.
You can find Moon Harbor Heroes on Twitter at Moon Harbor Cast. That is the American spelling of harbor, not the better spelling of harbor. So HARBOR.
Yeah, and you can find Super Idols RPG on Twitter at Super Idols RPG.
Nerds on a Roll, that's going to be at NOAR_podcast, I believe. Is that right, Tess? You're my handler.
I literally just pulled it up. Yeah, you're right.
And then check us out. And then at Welcome Party Pod for that. And then at Percept Studio for Indie Table Tales, because it's a subsidiary of Perception Studio.
You can find Waypoint at Waypoint Pod on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and TikTok. And if you want to email us about anything, you can also send us an email, waypointheroes@gmail.com. And now that you're all informed what to do for the next 2 weeks, listen to all of these, obviously, all the way through. We will say, until then, when we all hear from each other again, yes, these new people we have on board will also be able to hear you through your speaker. Until then... Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.